Right, let's move on to sugar tax. Big issue this in the news, an issue that we've spoken about many times on this show. Now it actually might happen, as a government report into the impact of sugar on our health is expected to call for bold and urgent action to tackle the obesity crisis. One option being talked about is a 20% tax on sugary fizzy drinks. Neil Johnson from the Northern Ireland Chest, Heart and Stroke Association is with us this morning. Morning to you, Neil.
Morning.
Good morning. And Gavin Partington, DG, Director General of the British Soft Drinks Association. Morning, Gavin.
Morning, Stephen.
Good morning. Neil, 20% tax on sugary drinks. Are you up for that?
Northern Ireland Chest, Heart and Stroke remain to be convinced about the pros and cons of a sugar tax. The first thing that I would say, though, Stephen, is we have to admit that there is a big obesity problem. You know, particularly here in Northern Ireland, we have a quarter of adults are obese and 35% are overweight. So that's 60% of the population have a weight problem. However, you know, it's going to be a range of measures that's going to be needed to tackle that. And it's interesting, and Public Health England issued a report on sugar reduction, and they supported the idea of a sugar tax, but it was one of eight recommendations. There's a lot of other things around price reductions, reducing price promotions at supermarkets, stopping the advertising of high sugar free drinks to kids and those sort of things. There are
right.
Other
well,
measures.
It's the sugar tax that we're talking about today. So, Gavin Partington, Neil, we'll let you go because if you don't know what you, if you're not sure your position on sugar tax, I'll speak to Gavin Partington this morning.
I'm happy to speak on this, Stephen, but it's very simplistic to suggest that this is a one. There's no silver bullet to tackle obesity. That's okay. Why we're in every week with school children. We're talking about smoking, we're talking about physical activity, and we're talking about diet. And to single out one issue and one part of diet and suggest that is the entire solution to obesity, you've misleadingly said that actually this is a government report. This is a select committee has reported it. Public Health England have made their comments. And the issue is there is little evidence actually that a sugar tax would in the long term reduce calorie intake. So, and there's little evidence that sugar tax on its own is going to change matters. So I think we need to look at this bigger. We need to look at the situation in Britain where the level of sugary drinks, the consumption is actually more or less broadly stable. In America, it's actually falling, and yet obesity is still a big issue. So, you know, there are a lot of issues here. I don't think we should just single in on, yes, let's talk about a sugar tax.
All right.
Let's consider the
merits
of it.
Let me talk about it. Thank you, Neil. Gavin Partington, what's wrong with the sugar tax?
Well, you know, there are plenty of things wrong, and actually Neil presents a very balanced picture. I would say the problem with a sugar tax is that it's a regressive move. It raises prices for everyone without any of the evidence, as Neil says, internationally, that it actually has a marked effect on levels of consumption of product and of calories. And if you look at the experience in Mexico, the actual reduction in calories arising from the sugar tax there has been 6 calories per day. No one seriously believes, do they, that is actually going to have a marked impact on levels of obesity, which I well recognise are unacceptable, and we need to take action to address it. We need to look at a range of things. And the committee that you referred, the committee's report today, Stephen, actually makes clear, as Public Health England did, that efforts in relation to reformulation of product, taking calories out by replacing the sugar, for example, with sweeteners, that can have a much more marked effect on calorie intake than actually the blunt weapon of a tax.
But hold on a second. Price is very, very important, as you well know, in the drinks industry. It is a very, very important factor as to whether a consumer will purchase or not. That's why you compete against each other quite aggressively. And you're suggesting that a 20% increase in the price of a product would have minimal impact.
Well, look at the experience in France, an economy that's probably more like ours than maybe Mexico is, Stephen. There, when they introduced a tax on soft drinks in 2012, initially, yes, sales did go down by a couple of percent. But thereafter, in 2013, they went up again. And so the evidence does not suggest that that sort of tax increase is likely to have a marked impact on the levels of consumption or on calorie reduction. That's why we're saying let's look at a broader range of measures. Let's look at reformulating existing product, which is what we're doing, making more low and no calorie product available, and using promotional spend, advertising, that's what the industry's been doing the last couple of years, to encourage people to consume more of those products. We've got options within our sector. It's not clear to me that, for example, in cakes or biscuits or confectionery, it's as easy, frankly, to present consumers with that range of low and no calorie options.
Ian Wright, who's the Director General of the Food and Drink Federation, told me on Five Live last night that people should not drink a 500 milliliter bottle of sugary fizzy drink in the one go, that it should be spread over 2 or 3 days. Do you support that view?
It certainly shouldn't be drunk in one go. It's too much. And, you know, you're absolutely clear about that, Stephen.
Is he right that it should be spread over 2 or 3 days? Over 2 or 3 days?
I'd say it's 2 servings, to be honest, because that's what's stipulated. It's a resealable bottle, and it's perfectly okay to have it as 2 servings. As a dad myself, I would regard a full sugar product as something that is an occasional treat for my children, and nothing wrong with that.
So when you say 2 servings, though, is it your view that that should be taken over more than one day?
Yes, ideally. Yep, indeed.
So you split a bottle of Coke or Fanta or Lilt over 2 days.
Why not?
You don't drink it over a day.
Why not? Your choice.
But you're advising people not to drink it over one day.
I am not issuing an edict or an instruction.
I'm talking about advice.
This is ultimately, well, in terms of advice, this is ultimately about consumer choice and consumer information.
Would you let your kids do it?
I would let one of my kids have a 500ml bottle in a day, yes, but I wouldn't let them have one every day, and that's the point.
But you've just said it should be spread over 2 servings.
I think ideally, because clearly a full sugar 500ml bottle does contain a certain level of sugar, and if you look at the Public Health England recommendations, which I know you're well aware of, Stephen, they are talking about aiming for a 5% sugar intake per day. I think that's actually very challenging, given that the children that we're talking about at the moment are currently getting somewhere between 12 and 15%.
Gavin, the reason I'm pushing you on the servings,
okay,
and there's a reason for it, is because last night we had Ian Wright, as I said, Director General of the Food and Drinks Federation, saying, look, spread a bottle of full sugar drink over 2 to 3 days.
Yes.
You're saying something very similar. You're saying, look, don't have it all in the one go. Spread it over 2 servings, okay, at least. And probably, I'm probably over more than a day. Is that a fair reflection of what you're saying?
Well, he's saying that. I'm not saying it necessarily needs to be longer than a day. Not at all. But I don't think it should be in one sitting. That's all.
Why does it not say this on the bottles?
It actually says it's two servings.
It does say it's 2 servings, but it doesn't say don't drink it all at once.
Well, you know, look, you present information for consumers. The labelling is very clear. We have the tightest labelling restrictions of any part in the world here. And you present the information for people so that are well aware of the sugar content.
I don't think that it's in the nation's psyche that you shouldn't drink a bottle of Coke, Lilt, Fanta, Orangeade, whatever these products you want to call them.
And incidentally, you've just referred to a range of products there, Stephen, that have many of which have been reformulated and had 30% of the sugar taken out and replaced with artificial sweeteners. That's exactly the sort of
I'm talking about the full sugar versions.
And the full sugar versions.
I don't think it's in the nation's psyche that it's in any way unhealthy to drink a full bottle, as in the 500ml bottles that are marketed to us very, very aggressively.
I don't accept that it's unhealthy. I do not accept that it's unhealthy.
Yes, you do, because you're telling us not to take it all at once.
I don't. You're putting words into my...
You're telling us not to take it all at once.
Stephen, shut it, right? You're challenging me about the words that I say, and you're asking me to comment on words by another colleague in the industry. I'm very, very happy to be clear about what I'm saying, which is that a 500ml 1 litre bottle of full sugar product is not intended for consumption at one go. That's why it has a resealable cap. Now, that is very plain. If someone wishes to have that, I do not think it is particularly unhealthy. I don't think there's a huge risk to their health at all. I simply, as a matter of course, would suggest that it's not a product that should be consumed every day full sugar. We should balance our diet overall, and we should stop focusing on this single ingredient.
So how many days a week do you think it's safe and healthy to have a 500 milliliter bottle of Coke?
It depends on the kind of lifestyle you lead and the kind of calorie output you have as a result of that lifestyle. If you're engaged in sport and a lot of physical activity, it's probably okay to have more of that product per week than it is if, frankly, you lead a sedentary lifestyle. That's the point about this, Stephen. We need to be looking at this holistically.
So if you're not an athlete, if you're not out, you know, partaking in aggressive exercise, well, let's talk about children, Gavin. How many bottles of full sugar fizzy drink do you think a kid should have in an average week?
I think that's really a matter for their parents to make, a choice for their parents to make, so on the basis of the lifestyle that they lead.
So there's no guidance coming from the British Soft Drinks Association?
I think you and others, rightly, would be a little sceptical if people from industry were to start offering health advice.
You see, Gavin,
surely you look to Neil and some of his colleagues in the medical profession to offer health advice about what overall is a balanced diet.
You see, I guess I'm just looking at other products where, I don't know, if you take medicine as a perfect example, right? Medicine, you know, you are told, do not take more than a certain amount of these per day. Only take them once every 4 hours. Now, I guess I'm saying, do we need that type of advice from your industry?
I don't think that sort of advice from our industry is the advice that overall people would expect to receive from food and drink companies. I think what they would rightly expect is proper and detailed labelling that provides all the information about the nutrients in that product and makes suggestions about what is a reasonable portion size. That's not an unreasonable thing to ask. But if you're saying to me that a product of ours is comparable to a medicinal product being proffered by a pharmaceutical company, I don't think there is a direct comparison there, and I don't think that consumers would expect that level of guidance.
Jenny Rosper is listening to this, campaigns manager at Action on Sugar. What's your reaction to this, Jenny?
I think that it's really hard for people to reach the 5% recommendation if we are drinking sugary drinks. We know that in a can alone, there's more sugar in that one can than is recommended for the whole day. So I do agree that we should be informing parents and children about how much sugar is in the drinks in a clearer way. So it seems like lots of people would respond better to having teaspoons on there now, and that would definitely be more helpful.
But you've hit the nail on the head. We do know how much sugar's in it because they tell us on the can or the bottle. So let adults make the decision for themselves. Butt out.
But actually, it's really hard. So, you know, you've got marketing and promotions and all these things going on that are put in place because we know it increases consumption, and then you're telling the parent, well, they should have made a healthy choice. The food environment doesn't really make it possible for us to do that.
Doesn't make it possible for us to make decisions about our own lives?
It makes it much harder to make a healthier choice.
Why?
Because you see a good deal, you see a promotion, and you think that you're saving money, when in actual fact what we're looking at with the research that Public Health England have issued is that we will just eat the foods twice as quickly. We don't sort of eat less, or we don't swap to a new brand. We are just getting that in addition. So, you know, it does cause us to increase purchasing, increase consumption. And that's why all the money is spent on advertising and marketing, because there's research and evidence to show that it is influencing our choices.
Gavin, would the industry, do you think the industry would consider not marketing full sugar drinks?
At least one major company in the sector does that in terms of their advertising spend. The vast majority of the sector has actually switched their advertising spend substantially to low and no calorie products. I think if you're saying would companies switch away totally from marketing products that have full sugar, no, and they should not feel obliged to. They should simply make sure that consumers do have the information you refer to, Stephen, and that Jenny was talking about, to make an honest decision and a proper decision. And where children are concerned, we must ensure that parents have that information so that they can make a proper informed choice.
This report is calling for bold and urgent action, Gavin. You're on the back foot here, your industry, aren't you? There's a lot of pressure.
There is a lot of pressure, but the pressure is being driven substantially from a health profession which is very, very happy to talk about taxing consumer products to raise money for the health service, a lot less happy to talk about the prospect of working on a Saturday and Sunday and making their services available, which I think consumers should rightly be concerned about, because consumers ultimately pay for the health service through their taxation. And it's consumers who would suffer if the price of ordinary products was raised in a way that is being suggested, a tax on soft drinks. And I should say that the committee ultimately suggesting a tax on soft drinks simply because it would be easier to do, rather than going for a tax on sugar overall. That doesn't seem a terribly good basis to initiate a policy like this.
Here's Raymond. Morning, Raymond.
Good morning, Stephen. How are you?
Go ahead, Raymond.
Stephen, on a bottle of Coke or a bottle of any drink, it's only based on 250 millilitres. Should they not make it that it's a total of a bottle, a 2-litre bottle holding 264 grams of sugar?
So you're saying that the labelling should show what's in the actual container rather than per serving?
Yes, because if a person seen what was in the food bottle, it may light up a light and say, oh, right, that there's too much. We'll go for the dad option. And on promotions, when I was in a local supermarket at the weekend, all drinks were the same price. Dad Coke, Coke Zero, all the different bottles were all there at the same price. So it's up to people to decide what they want to buy. If they want to buy the full sugar, buy the full sugar. If they want to buy low calorie, buy low calorie.
Ross Brown, Councillor Ross Brown from the Green Party. Morning to you, Ross.
Morning, Stephen.
Go ahead.
The point that I wanted to make was related to this idea that consumers should have the information. And in fact, the fellow there from the drinks industry has made that point a number of times. The last time the legislation on labelling was changed in the European Parliament, there was €1 billion spent on lobbying by the food and drinks industry. And it was the biggest lobbying campaign in history in order to make sure that consumers didn't have a clear traffic light system, and in order to ensure that consumers didn't have clear nutritional information like the previous caller had just mentioned. So on one hand, the industry sends one thing on your show. On the other hand, when they're over in Brussels, they're lobbying against clear labelling for consumers.
But we all kind of know, whether there's clear labelling or not, Ross, we all know that full sugar, fizzy drinks are not as good for us. We know that. And we know that they contribute towards obesity if they're taken too much. So we don't actually need more clear labelling to know that. We're
Had an
extra large. When I had a McDonald's last night, I had an extra large full sugar Coke. I could have said Diet Coke. I didn't. That's why I'm fat.
But Stephen, you're just contradicting yourself because you didn't know that Coke should be consumed, or one of those fizzy drinks should be consumed over 2 servings. You didn't know that yourself. And the fact is that there was a proposal for a clear traffic light system. There was a proposal for nutritional information on the basis of what was in the container, and the industry scuppered. The industry is making it more complicated for people to know, so they're not giving people the choice.
Mickey Todd. Morning, Mickey.
How you doing, Stephen? What bugs me here, mate, is I was at the hospital this morning. I bought a bottle of Fanta for £1.47, and in the pound shop, I can buy it for £1. Now, where does that 47p go?
What's your best price? Why is this relevant?
It is relevant. They're putting more sugar on tax and everything else.
Thank you, Mickey.
But listen.
Yes.
Listen.
Yes.
You listen to me?
Yes.
Right. This guy, Gavin, says that's why they put caps on the bottle.
Yeah, so you can have it more than one serving.
Aye. So if you pour it into a glass, what are you going to do with the other half of the glass? Know what I mean? Do you down the sink, it'll go flat. If you take half the bottle, leave it to said, half an hour later, it'll be flat.
Ryan's in Belfast. Morning, Ryan.
Yourself?
I'm sorry?
How are you?
Terrible.
No, the point I was just wanting to make was that the tax on the sugary drinks, I believe it should be what the other caller said, a tax on all sugar. Because I don't think people actually realise the damaging effects that sugar has on the body. Like, it's the leading cause of most chronic illnesses that exist. It's the leading cause of obesity. But people seem to think it's fat that causes all these problems. And actually, it's sugar. And I think it should be up to the government to maybe also educate people and possibly look at changing the way the food pyramid's designed to give people them informed information about how to actually eat properly, about going back to our roots 400 or 500 years ago, where we had a diet rich of proteins and dark green vegetables.
Do you know the other stuff? The other thing I like, you know, sports mixtures. I love.
Yeah, they're awful for you.
I love sports mixture. Now I'm sure they're full of sugar. I'm sure they are. I love those, the red ones.
And there's a major milk company here recently that has released a protein shake. I'm not going to name them, but whenever you look at the back of it,
do you know what? Just stop there because actually we don't name them. You're still kind of naming them, so we're not getting into that type of territory.
Yep, that's okay.
But no Ryan, problem. Thank you very much indeed. Morning to you.